You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Podcast P, presented to you by Prize Picks, a Wave Sports and Entertainment original. It's your guy, PG-13. Today, I got my guys again with me, Dallas Rutherford and Jackie Long. What's up, fellas?
Yeah, yeah. Come on, my man.
How everybody doing, man? It's good to be back in the building.
First of all, I'm doing good. You see this outfit I got
today? Hey, that's swaggy.
Look at it, y'all. Look at it, y'all.
Is it a shout out? Who did it?
Shout out to my boy Jep.
Okay.
From Nadina.
Okay. From Nadina.
My boy Jep made this, specially made.
Little home team. Okay.
Yeah. I like the zippers, Jackie.
Look at this. Look at this. It ain't stopping. It ain't stopping.
Is that a three piece? What is that?
It's a three piece, like a suit. Button
yeah,
up.
Like the three.
Is that like a.
And it's a button.
It's like a button up, like you in a suit.
It's a jacket. Jackie connected suit. To a jacket.
Come on.
Ah, that's bunk bunk.
Come on.
No, he's not.
So it's really a two-piece, but it's...
It's a two-piece suit.
It's like two and a half.
Two and a half piece.
Two-piece sweatsuit.
Yeah, I like it.
Shout out to my boy Jap hooking that up. I'm getting to Dina.
You didn't think about getting us one of those?
Well, no. I had to advertise it first to see if y'all like it. Then y'all like it, so now I got y'all one of
I want an ATL one.
You want an ATL one?
I want an ATL one.
What you want?
That one.
You want this one? What size you wear?
Large.
Okay, you same size.
Extra.
Say no more. It's coming your way soon.
I need the Jeff, tall, though.
You already know you're going to watch this. I know you're going to make some
Did you wear tall pro clubs or were you the regular size?
Oh, tall, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But other than that, fellas, I got to tell y'all, too. I might miss y'all soon.
Why? What's? Are we working?
We off strike, baby, and I done striked up and got my ass a job.
Come on.
Jackie's
coming to a theater near you.
I got my black ass a job, y'all. I'm back. I'm back doing what I love. Nah, okay. But I'm gonna miss. I hope I can still shoot. You know where I'm going.
We're gonna go wherever you at.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't want to tell y'all where I'm going. Y'all want to be a surprise when y'all see it.
Okay.
But I leave soon, so you know, audience, y'all might not see me on a few shows, or you might. I don't know how we gonna do this yet. It's my first time actually leaving while we've been shooting this podcast. So you know, just wish me the best. And, you know, I got a job, fellas.
Oh.
I got a job,
man. It's good to hear.
You know, when you're on podcast, you do big things. People be offering you stuff, doing stuff. You know how it is.
Hey, no, we're happy for you, Bucky. That's dope.
Thank you,
no,
man.
No, is there any leaks that, like, you okay giving, or is just we just got to wait? Just
all
wait
I
and
can
see.
Say is y'all going to be shocked.
Okay.
That's all I can say. Y'all going to be like, y'all going to be happy. We're going to talk about it when it do come out. And, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. You're going to really like it because I think I don't want to give up nothing. I'm talking too much.
We're going to wait and see. We're going to wait and see. Dow, you got to match that. What we doing? What?
Dow got a chain.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, that chain.
Show the chain. We got a new
podcast P chain.
Come on, zoom in on it. Zoom in on it.
There may or may not be somebody, you know, maybe gifting another one of these for you guys. But, yeah, I've been thinking about getting a chain for some time now and ended up buying one in Detroit. I went into this jewelry store just to look around.
Yeah.
But have you ever been in a store, and this is a sincere, like, it was just such good customer service, and the guy was so nice. I felt like I like the guy. Like, yeah. I'm going to buy something.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting the cross chain, and then I'm like, man, I need the podcast P chain. So
Shout out. How did that, like, did you ask him, do you do customs or does
Yeah, so I was looking at the Cross one. His name was like Dash Diamonds in Detroit where my wife lives. So it was her 30th birthday. So I was out there for a few days and I was just looking at the size of the crosses because I didn't want the extra YT chain, you know what I mean? I didn't want the, you know, the damn, YT Rick Diss. Ross chain, you know what I mean? So I wanted something clean. So I was just looking at the size of the cross because I don't want, like, you know, it's big. It's, I want it to be, it's got to fit me, you right. know what I mean? I can't do the YT. So, yeah, I got the podcast P chain shortly after that, but yeah, it's kind of a new look I'm going for now.
I'm liking
what
it.
What about you, P? Besides being an all-star, what else the fuck going on?
What else is going on? Yeah, just happy to be back in L.A.
Happy
How about
to be
that?
Back home?
Happy to be Man. Back home. We was gone for 2 weeks.
It's been lonely.
Yeah, we talk about that later. Y'all did good.
We'll get into that later.
That's why I wanted to sweat
no
some
video
today.
Games, bro. It's been quiet at the
house.
It's
been quiet. We have not played no video games. The whole Grammy trip, they've been
just,
gone, y'all.
Just Madden and 2K. I didn't have much, like, duty time. Like, duty is tricky because if you play in hotels and that Wi-Fi is just trash, then it's
you don't want to force it. Just
it's a horrible experience.
It's good to take time off though, and sometimes it makes you play better. Which
I came back last night and was killing.
So your traveling Wi-Fi don't work good?
It does. Some of the cities it was great, but at the like I'm so locked in on PC now. Like,
oh, so it gotta be
it's just not the same playing duty on PlayStation.
Like, agreed.
After playing on PC, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's all good.
I'm better on PC now.
I hate you PC dudes, man. I got to get a
Make
PC.
Make the transition.
I know. That's why I said
we
I hate
talked
y'all.
About this last night. You need a designated game room.
I got to get the room where the it's strictly room. Just a game room. Yeah, I'm going to get it. The monkey room.
As soon as you open it, how much should say PG-13, just need to say bunky.
That's all it's going to say. B-O-N-K-Y. We popping on Podcast P this week. Y'all, we got a lot of stuff going on.
We got a lot.
Man.
We wanted to take a brief break from this episode to let you know that Prize Picks has got you covered when it comes to helping you make some money during the NBA season.
That's right, that's right, that's right! Prize Picks is helping me cash in. Prize Picks is a daily fantasy app, and with the NBA season in full swing, you can select two or more picks, pick more or less on their projected stats, and turn $25 into $250. Prize Picks is really simple and easy to play. I can make my Prize Picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds.
It's also that time of the year where many sports are happening at the same time. And of course, Prize Picks allows you to pick combo projections across football and basketball with specials so you can support all your favorite teams while still cashing in.
I know for me, I always be cashing in. But Dallas, we'll get to you on another time. But anyways, be sure to visit prizepicks.com/podcastp and use podcastp for a first deposit matchup to $100. And y'all already know what time it is.
Cha-ching!
Now back to the show.
Before we bring Vince Staples and Jaime Jaquez to the show, fellas, we got to cover some Clipper news.
Oh, you know I'm ready to do that. You see, I wore the outfit today.
Yeah, you definitely Clipper out. You Clipper Daryl.
Come on. Yeah, I'm the new Clipper Daryl.
Clipper Bunky.
Come on, Clipper Bunky.
Hey, and just a heads up, guys, on Podcast P, we are shooting this before the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Detroit Pistons game. So stay locked in to Podcast P. Follow us on all social media platforms. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button.
Shout out to my mama, too, for wearing the Podcast P merch this week.
She wore it this week?
Yeah, we posted her Podcast P poster. Shout out to mama. They'll probably post it again and show her.
Where was she wearing that? She was just around the house? She
went
out.
She went out with it.
Come on.
She was outside.
Mom's was out there like this.
I'm glad your family got some merch. Man, jeez.
You didn't get no merch?
My family hasn't got nothing.
You
got
to steal it.
Those are the extra beanies. Was it a beanie?
Yeah, I stole it. I lied. Said I ain't got no jacket. Took an extra one. Gave it to mama and them.
That's funny. So I want to rewind a little bit. And P, previously on a previous episode, when James first got traded, there was a bunch of noise, and we talked about it on the show. And one clip that really stuck out to me when talking about this subject was when James first got traded. And I think he was on the bench with T-Man, and T-Man was asking him something, and James was just like, don't worry, like, once I get it, like, we're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And James also said it was going to be scary, but seeing where you guys are at now, I think you're 16-4 in your last 20 games, hovering around the top of the Western Conference. Is it hard for you not to look ahead to the future and kind of get excited for this playoff run that we're about to go on?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you gotta take it one day at a time, one game at a time. But you do look ahead at some points throughout the season where you are excited. Like, man, we've checked a lot of boxes of like playing on the road, playing against adversity, challenging really good teams. Like, we've checked a lot of boxes that will prepare us for when it is playoff time. So that's like the most important part of it all. But at the same time, it's just, it's an ongoing, like, figuring it out. Like, I think now that we learn who we are, how we're gonna play, like, my role has changed, like, from the start of the season to where it is now. It's just, we're winning, like, we're playing a well-oiled machine at this point. Everybody's clicking, everybody's enjoying it, everybody's having fun, there's no complaints. And so, yeah, I mean, at this point, like, you are excited for what's to come once we get to that point.
When you just mentioned, you said your role's changed, I'm curious, just from your standpoint, like, obviously James has the ball in his hands, and so he's kind of bringing the ball up. Mm-hmm. What else has changed as far as your role, like, in your mind? What really has changed?
I think I've just taken on that defensive leader. Obviously, we got Kawhi, who's one of the best defenders, but I feel like just being versatile, T-Lou has given me that freedom to just be the defensive leader. I think that's just where my role, like, I'm not getting as many shots as I was to start the season off, which is totally fine. We're winning. And so James is getting adjusted into that role of being a facilitator and, you know, that floor general. So I've been getting my shots through, you know, certain stuff like that. So rhythm's going to be up and down.
Your defense look good, though, baby.
But defensively, it's just, you know, I feel like that has kind of been where I could really step up and make sure defensively, you know, I'm at the best that I can be.
What you averaging, like, 2 steals a game right now, 2 or 3?
Just under, like, 1.7 or something like that.
I think, what, the other night you had about 3 or 4, I think, and they took 1 from you. They gave you 3. I think you had 4, though.
Might they be doing that, though.
What happened with that 1 steal and you went down, you, like, just lost the ball? I couldn't see something, but you were talking with the ref after it.
He hacked the hell out of me.
I couldn't see it. I'm like, bro, what is he doing? He, it looked like you were fumbling
but
the
even
ball.
Like, I don't know. It was just an off, like, off day, bro. Like, and I think it was just like, so I didn't, we got back from the 2-week trip. Like, so the first night we get in 3-4 in the morning, I didn't fall asleep. Like, so that was a rough night. Then the next night before the game, I try to go to bed early. Like, all right, let me try to recover on some sleep. I probably went to bed like 9:30, 10. Wake up 2 in the morning, wide awake. And I was up all the way until that game the night. So I just feel like I was just zombied out. Like, not there. And then I feel great because we're back home. So, like, now I got that. Like, my adrenaline is high. Like, it was just a mix of. And, like, because I had a steal before that. And it was just like my hand was like the ball just went right through my hand. So I was like, what the fuck? And then, yeah, that other steal, it literally almost did the same thing. I was just able to get a little grip on it.
Speaking of your boy Kawhi, y'all went on this 6-1 mm-hmm. Grammy run, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. I hate that y'all lost that one. But your boy, you know, I got to be nosy. Kawhi said that y'all bonded when y'all was on this road trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now everybody know that's a hard thing to do when you on these road games, okay? Mm-hmm. What is it that y'all did on and off the court to make y'all bond together?
I mean, it's just a lot of time being together. We did do dinners while we were on the road, team dinners.
Who paid?
We mix it up.
Okay.
One night, this person pays, next night, the other person pays. Like, you know, okay. It's not solely on one person. But I think that was, like, when you're home, you're around each other for a long time. But when you're on the road, you're around each other even longer, because you're on the road, there's nothing to do. Like, yo, y'all want to go grab a bite? I bet, yeah, let's go eat. Like, so now we're together off the court, opposed to when we're home, we're together on the court. And so with that, like, you build a lot more, you know, continuity. Like,
right.
You just learn how to talk and communicate on another scale when you're doing it off the court, and it translates to on the court. So, yeah, I thought we got real close, and we really bonded over that 2-week trip.
Okay, another thing I want to know, I got to be nosy.
Come on with it.
I know it's been tough for you lately dealing with your groin injury
mm-hmm.
or whatever. I just want to, know how you've been adjusting to that right now.
Yeah. I've been, it's been a process. I stated this in an interview. It's no excuse, though. Like, if I'm on a court, then I'm out there to play at my best. Like, so it's no excuse. But my groin is sore. Like, it's been sore. It's been bothering me. I've been trying to play through it, knowing we got the All-Star break coming up. Like, let's go into the break playing as best as we can. Because, you know, last thing you want to do is you get to April, last couple games of the season, and then you like, damn, that game, if I would have played or, you know, if we would have won that, like, this situation would be a lot different.
What kind of pain, Pete, is a groin pain? I never had it, so
like
I don't know.
It's like a nagging pain. Like, it's like, say you had a tight hammy.
Okay.
Similar to that, but it's just in your groin. Like, ooh, you just got a tight groin.
So it gets, it's off and on tight.
Off and on tightness. To. Like, sometimes, like, you know, just, you know, lifting my leg hurts. Like, if you're playing defense, you're sliding. Like, that can pull on it. So I get it wrapped. I get my groin wrapped before the game.
Wrapped?
Yeah.
I never heard.
That's got to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. So my pelvic, it's just to keep my pelvis from, like, it's support for my pelvis. Yeah.
So what do you do to get rid of a groin problem? Like, what's the
deal? I mean, it's you know, a lot of it is comes from just your hips not being aligned, and your groin is getting pulled on because your hips aren't aligned. Mm. And so that's what was
that
the case. And
like,
if you continue to play on that over time, it's going to get sore and sore. And that was just the case. So now it's just working on just keeping my you know, pelvic both left and right aligned, and then from time it'll just, but you got to get some, you know, treatment on it,
right
but over time it'll go down and I'll be back to normal.
That's all I wanted to know. I was just wanted to be nosy because I knew
yeah.
You know,
it's sciatica for the groin,
you know. There you go. That's you how know, you should have explained it.
That's kind of how it is. Yeah. A little sciatic for the groin.
I had to ask that because I know the people was gonna ask, how you groin doing?
Yeah.
Had to be out.
Jackie's
there
in the comments. You know that.
So, you know everyone. Hey, you know, from in the gym.
Now you can answer it. Now yeah, my boy P is good.
Come
you know,
on.
Just look
crazy profile pic.
Hey, I'm going to change it.
He does, bro. His YouTube profile pic is hilarious. It's like him looking at his phone, like down like this, taking a picture or something like that. But P, you were recently selected to your 9th All-Star game, which is an incredible achievement. And there aren't too many players in NBA history that are going to be able to say the same and have been able to go to 9 All-Star games. But just talk a little bit about how it feels to be heading to another All-Star game.
It feels great. Honestly, it feels great. Funny story is when I got traded from Indiana to Oklahoma, that's going from East Conference to the West Conference. I was told I would never make the All-Star game again going out West. Mm.
Wow.
And to now pick up, what was I, twice in Oklahoma. This is my second in L.A. So to go on and pick up 4 All-Stars being in the Western Conference now is amazing. This one is obviously special, being back in Indiana where it started for me. So, I mean, it's great. You know, it's great. But hindsight of it all, like, you do wish for a little time off, especially for my right situation with this groin.
You know what I like the most? Everybody that doubted you when you was saying you're going to be an All-Star. And look, I bet you have them people that said they ain't even never been an All-Star.
Never been an All-Star,
and
no.
That's crazy. And you still All-Starring.
Still All-Starring.
You still All-Starring.
To this day.
To this day. So all them people that was talking about P back in the day.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Was that more so because now I want to dive into that comment a little bit more, but you always hear those stories like of athletes that kind of like remember something that someone said. So when you say that I was told that I wouldn't get another All-Star going to the West, was that like a media thing or do you actually remember? You don't have to say names, but was there like a specific person that told you that?
It was reportedly coming from the original team I was traded from.
Wow.
Like
send him to the West. He won't be an All-Star in the West.
Wow.
And so that did stick with me. And so when I got to Oklahoma, it was like, all right, I got some fuel. And first year there, All-Star.
Come on, in
second year there, All-Star starter.
Come on, keep talking.
Gotta
talk your shit. Talk your
come
shit.
Come on.
Talk your shit. Come on.
This is The Connect, sponsored by AT&T. Stay connected to what matters most with AT&T. All right, we have the Miami Heat rookie sensation, my guy, Jaime Jaquez, joining us. Jaime, what up, bro? How you doing?
What's happening, P? Doing good, man. Doing good. Happy to be on the show again. Living wild.
Appreciate you again on the show. What's going on in 305, man?
Nothing much. You know, working, trying to get better. You know, doing what I can to help this team progress. So, you know, living good.
Got you. Do you feel it like the keys is about to be handed to you, like, at some point?
I mean, eventually. I mean, at where I'm at right now, I'm just doing everything I can to learn. I think we have a lot of great guys, you know, veteran guys that are really, you know, taking me under their wing and showing me the NBA game. And so it's been really special to have that. And so, you know, when that time comes, I'm going to be ready for it.
Love that.
I mean, I know you're probably excited for this weekend's All-Star Weekend, and you will be competing in this year's Slam Dunk Contest. So congratulations on that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think a lot of people don't know your history in Slam Dunk Contests. I know that you did win one in high school down at Sierra Canyon, if I'm not mistaken. But what kind of made you want to do the dunk contest this year?
I thought it was a great opportunity. It was something that, you know, I watched as a kid and growing up, watching a dunk contest, guys like Nate Robinson, Blake Griffin, Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine. So just to, you know, be able to participate in something like that and just show my ability and my dunking ability is going to be really cool. So I'm looking forward to it.
And can you give us any insight? Like, tell me you're working on something. Like, do you feel like you got a dunk this year that's going to be like, all right, like bring a little excitement, something people haven't seen. You got something cooking up?
Yeah, I think I got one dunk that you guys are going to be surprised to see. So I'm looking forward to it. We got a lot of work behind the scenes being put into the creativity of all this. So I didn't realize how serious this process was going to be.
it is a serious process. You know, I've done it twice now. And to be honest, you practice all of this stuff leading up to it. And then you get out there and then you know how it goes. Once that adrenaline hit, it's like, all right, I can jump out the gym. Like, let me add this to it now. Like, so.
Exactly. That's what I was telling myself the whole time. I'm just banking on the adrenaline. So.
Yeah. Cause even if you're going through the practices and you missing, and I guarantee once you get out there, like, your vert's going to be another like 5 inches. I promise you. So I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to see it.
I'm excited to do it, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You better have your hair doing a trick or something when you dunk. With your hair flowing, glowing.
We need a head and shoulders deal after you get the dunk contest. Like, after
they're going to have it in slow motion.
Come on. Right. You got to have a head and shoulders deal.
Jaime, are you watching like old dunk contests for inspiration, or are you more so trying to find, you know, some of these online sensation dunkers? Like, what have you kind of been doing to come up with the creativity side of the dunk contest?
I think creatively, I mean, obviously taking a lot of inspiration from a lot of different places, but at the same time, you know, I kind of really wanted to be myself and, you know, really my own creativity and bring something that people haven't really seen before. Because, I mean, everyone, dunking nowadays is like water. It's everywhere. Everybody could do crazy dunks, so you got to put your own little twist on things, and that's what I'm looking forward to do.
Mm-hmm. Who are you most worried about in the dunk contest? If you're just looking at it, you know, I'd think you're probably not the favorite, just looking at it on paper. But who in that dunk contest are you looking at like, that's the guy I got to beat?
I mean, I think you got a lot of great jumpers and great dunkers in there. I mean, in-game dunking is one thing, but a dunk contest is another. So it's about, you know, being creative and having good tricks and stuff like that.
Love that answer.
Love that.
Now, Jaime, this season, my guy, we done seen your ass come off the bench. You done started games, and now you're returning from an injury. Now, I want to know, how have you dealt with all of these ups and downs during your rookie season, my man?
I mean, it's been great, man. It's been a great journey so far. I've got to experience a lot of things. Scoring my first bucket, getting my first dunk, fouling out of a game. So just trying to mark things off the to-do list of things I got to do to, you know, earn my stripes in the NBA. So just being able to experience all that so early on, I think is going to be really useful later on in my career.
I'm going to do you a little favor right now. I'm going to have PG give you a little bit of advice on how to catch a rhythm after returning from a mid-century season injury. Give him a little advice. Give him a little surprise. Give him a little something.
I mean, you just, you know, it's – you obviously, you know, depending on the injury, but you try to ease your way back into it. Do some of the same stuff, you know, as far as finding what your routine is, right? You stick to your routine so that the game feels normal, like you're back, like you never left. But then when you get on the court, you know, everything else kind of takes care of itself. You just feel right back at home. But definitely develop a routine that you always stick to. So when you get hurt, you get injured, you got time off. Once you get into that routine, it's like, oh, okay, all right, now I've been here before. I'm back. Like, you know, I'm just as good and just as in rhythm as when I left the game. So my big thing, bro, is just make sure you got a routine at all times and stick to that routine, because it's going to take you a long ways. Like on the days where you feel sluggish, days where you feel, you know, just not there mentally, so stuff's going on at home, that routine is going to take care of all of that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's great advice. Sticking with a routine. Something that I have, I mean, and I kind of got my own routine going. We put some things in here and there, sprinkle in different things, just so I'm always, you know, staying fresh and looking forward to something.
That's good. Last time you were on the pod, we had Draymond here, and you came in and you talked to us about our vets when we were rookies. Now that you got 40, 50 games under your belt this year, what vets on the Heat team have kind of taken you under their wing?
I would say Jay Rich for sure. Jay Rich, definitely one of them. Caleb Martin, another, and Ben, those three guys, I would say, definitely have taken me under their wing and you know, shown me a lot about the game of basketball and, you know, even off the court stuff as well. So those three guys.
Got it. And then shout out Jimmy. Been putting you on the commercial. That's awesome. When I seen that, that's awesome. Similar thing I did when I was in Indiana. I tried to take the rookie guys, put them in their first commercials with Gatorade. So I think it's dope to just kind of get you acclimated for what's to come for you down the line.
Yeah, no, for sure. Jimmy be on my ass too during the games and everything, so he's been great as well.
Yeah, I love Jimmy's, like, he just has that fire, you know, competitiveness about him, so it's always fun to watch him from afar, and it's even more fun competing against him, so.
Jaime, kind of a side question. How's Jimmy's coffee? Have you had an opportunity to taste any of his coffee?
The big face?
Yeah, man. I was tasting it while I was doing that commercial. We had it literally on set for like the whole entire day. So I was just tasting all of it. I'm not a big coffee fan personally. I'm more of a tea guy, but definitely worth a try. Definitely worth a try.
We'll have to check it out sometime.
You better have tried it. He was going to make you do something. He was a rookie.
So, Jaime, the Heat just traded for Terry Rozier, and with the addition of Terry, your role has changed a bit. Talk a little bit about that adjustment. I'm sure you were super, where you have been looking very comfortable in their system. Just talk about the kind of adjustments that you've had to make bringing in a player like Terry.
I think it's been great, man. He's been a great addition to our team. Anytime you're bringing in a new guy, there's always an adjustment period. We had a little adjustment period of just trying to figure out, you know, roles and rhythm and what our identity was going to be. And I mean, he's been transitioning seamlessly. And as for myself, you know, changing roles, I mean, as far as role, I mean, it hasn't really changed as much as I thought it was gonna. I think coming off the bench during the time that I come in, usually me and K-Love, I think it's a great timing, great rhythm that we have, and it's been a lot of fun.
All right, now, Jaime, you played PG twice this season against the Clippers, and I want to know, how has your experience been from when you used to play with P at the UCLA runs, a.k.a. the Rico? And how's them games been facing him to be now you're playing against him in the NBA? I know it got to be some type of – it got to be surreal. Like, have you had your moment yet where you're like, damn, I'm Jaime. I'm really in the NBA right now. Have you had that moment yet?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of those moments throughout my rookie season where I'm like, damn, I'm really here. I think, you know, going back home and playing in Staples Center was one of them. Obviously, we played the Clippers there. That was crazy. And then, you know, even when I go out every single night of the locker room, just to see everyone and the cheers and, you know, everybody in the crowd. And it's just like I'm living a dream right now. So it's been incredible.
Got your bobbleheads and everything coming soon.
Yeah, I got all the T-shirts and the jerseys. Yeah.
I want one, too. I want you to send us one. I want a jersey and a bobblehead, okay? Yeah,
I got
don't worry about them. Just give it to me, Jaime. Don't worry about them.
Careful, Jaime.
Jaime, speaking of the dream, and being in the NBA and life being surreal, let's talk about the Christmas Day. I know this was a game that was definitely highlighted for you.
Yeah.
It has to be. Every kid that makes it in the NBA wants to play on Christmas Day. I got the opportunity to do it several times, so it's always special to play on Christmas. You played against the 76ers with a monster night, a double-double, 31-10, two blocks. Talk to us a little bit about like that feeling performing on the biggest stage of the season so far. And I mean, I know you had to get a ton of love from family, friends back home, and just teammates. Like, talk to us a little bit about how that Christmas Day game went for you.
Yeah, that was really special for me, just because I had all my family, and you know, it was my first time I got to host Christmas in my little apartment, got the Christmas tree. So it was great in the morning to open presents, and then, you know, you get later on in the day, it's like, all right, now you got to play a game. And it was a lot of fun. We had a great time as a team. My family was there able to see. And then, you know, obviously, you know, having a career night for myself, it was really special, man. And, you know, that's a day, like you said, everyone dreams about. Everyone watches it national stage. And, you know, I go back to when I was younger and I was practicing with my AAU team. And we would practice all the way up until Christmas Eve and, you know, talk about no days off. So to be able to go out there, and I think that's just, you know, full circle moment for sure.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Christmas, baby. That was your gift that night, too. That was your gift.
Yeah.
31 and them 10 rebounds. Now we need you to get that triple.
Yeah, that's one I'm trying to get.
We need 10 blocks.
They call you Triple J.
Yeah.
Triple J, get a triple dub.
Come on.
I need one.
Triple J, triple dub.
Triple J, triple dub. That's your new name right there, Jaime. Then we just gave you the new one today, baby.
There it goes.
Hey,
I love it.
Well, Jaime, we don't want to take up too much of your time. We know you got a busy day today or had a busy day today. But we do want to say thank you. Thank you for connecting with us. Stay close to the action with AT&T. At home or on the go, AT&T keeps you connected to the game you love. Jaime, we appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
We appreciate you, big dog.
Thank y'all,
keep
man.
Doing that, man.
Stay healthy. We'll see you
keep
in
killing
the
dude.
Send that stuff to Aaron Smith for me.
I will.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Babbel is designed by real people for real conversations. How has Babbel helped y'all?
Well, I've been trying to learn a little Spanish, so me and the wife have been going back and forth, just trying to practice a new language.
What about you, P?
Same. When you got little kids, you know, you want to teach them new languages and let them explore down that path. So been teaching them to my, you know, Spanish to my kids.
Your kids know Spanish? Poquito?
Poquito. Poquito Espanol.
Oh, muy bien. Okay. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners to get you started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners now. Don't be out there trying to cheat. You talking about you listening, you ain't listening. But go to babbel.com/podcastp.
Once again, get 55% off at babbel.com/podcastp. Spelled babbel.com/podcastp. Rules and restrictions may apply. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, we have a very special guest from the LBC. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our first rapper on the show. So shout out him. On Podcast P, thank you for taking time for us. He's got a special show on Netflix called The Vince Staples Show.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Mm. Introducing Mr. Vince Staples himself.
How you doing, sir?
Appreciate
I'm
you,
good,
brother.
Man, I'm good.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I appreciate y'all time, man. The first one, I ain't know that. I
watched
the show
first,
and everything.
Man. You're the first.
So
come on,
you
bro.
You laying the
you
foundation for us.
Yeah, man. You know, I've been here forever. I had a sabbatical. I had to leave for like 6 months and go to Atlanta, but then I came right back. So I ain't really done that much time nowhere else.
Well, we glad you back.
Nah, it's
a lot
all
of talk
love,
about
man.
You. I heard a lot of good stuff about you.
I'm happy, man. I'm happy. You know, we want good things only nowadays. So yeah, definitely.
I heard a lot of good stuff, and that's good. You 30, so we about to get it. Yeah, we about to get it going.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get right into it. I read that you played in Snoop Dogg's youth football league. Like, how did that come about?
Well, Snoop came and he co-opted all the black kids. Like, we was off playing for the OCJA.
Hey, cuz, I need him.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm for real. He was recruiting. So at first he played for the Compton Titans. Well, I played for Linwood first, and then we went Compton Titans, and then we went Snoop League, which ended up being the Vikings.
Okay,
that was like my last year before high school when he came in. So it was fun, man. Like
the crib.
that's
see Snoop was see that's for that. I posted that picture when we was doing the celebrity game that Snoop had, and he had some real athletes out there. Kyle Kuzma, a bunch of 6'8", 6'6" on the bench. Is. I want to play in the game.
What position you play?
I see at first they had me playing running back. I don't want nobody to hit me. It wasn't for me.
It wasn't for you?
It wasn't for me. And yeah. I got asthma, so like we was trash. The first year, bro, we was terrible. So after that, I was like, I want to be on defense. I'm trying to do like some John Lynch, Ed Reed. You know what I mean? I want to roam.
So you
want
to do the
Yeah, because I'm cool. And also, they can't throw. As children, so I was just really kicking it.
Right, so you running
game.
Every down, like you
yeah,
take
you get a free pick. You know what I mean? Because the ball gonna be in the air, just floating. Right. Because these children can't throw, except for the Mission Viejo Cowboys.
They
kept
nice.
A quarterback.
You know them real good.
Yeah,
you
I hate
whole name. Yeah, Mission Viejo Cowboys.
Yeah, I hate
you know
them.
They quarterback name still.
They probably had Carson Palmer or one of them. Yeah, all the tall white boys come from that part of Orange County, yeah. So they probably had one.
Probably
of them.
Definitely
it's
had
a
Carson Palmer
league when you play them, huh?
What, mm-hmm. What was the Snoop Dogg recruitment process like? Was it more like it's Snoop, we got to go, or was there a little bit anything, any good story with the recruitment process?
I mean, you kind of just followed the coach, but it was luxury, bro.
Okay,
like name, we had our names on our jerseys because we was good. You know, some teams had the names on the jersey, some mm-hmm. teams don't. Like mm-hmm. it was a wobbler depending on where you played at. With Snoop, all the jerseys was new, the helmets was new, the pads was new. It was yeah. easy to get us. And you get to go to the Snooper Bowl and all yeah. the extra stuff.
was it have you seen Snoop Dogg new movie The Underdog?
I haven't seen it, but I know that's what it's
say,
based on.
It gotta be something.
Oh, it's based on his
lack of coaching and how the kids are, because it probably was kids cussing with y'all and
yeah.
doing.
Bruh.
It's movies wild. It's
and
good,
it's still
though.
Going too. Like it's still going. Like they just had a big game not too long ago. He still kind of got like a tight grasp on the whole football
yeah.
game out
that's
here.
That's hard.
So.
A lot
you
of
see
players,
like, a lot
in
of the players
NFL.
That come out.
Oh, for
it's,
sure.
From his football camp.
And he yeah. active too. He not just like putting his name on it. Like he active
he
here around here. While
dude,
like it's some
fun.
Dudes that's out here.
Is he coaching
work.
Or is he more of like the commission role? Like
both. He had a team.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
And he was cheating. He had people from everywhere. Had people from everywhere going to Pomona. Like
yeah.
He was
to the cheating point where y'all had yeah. to check birth certificates. Like, all right, this kid is
bruh.
Like, come on, Snoop.
It was ridiculous. And they still cheating. The kids are still cheating. I done yeah. seen some like 15, 16-year-olds.
Yeah, because I know it happens. This happens in basketball, mm-hmm. right? Kids get held back for basketball purposes to stay and, you know, develop in high school. So to see that in the football level is crazy because
yeah, it's not fair.
It's context. So it's like you might be 14 playing against a 19-year-old.
Man, they doing the double holdbacks now, especially with COVID. Like,
double holdbacks.
Yeah, that COVID, that's definitely yeah. a big plus, yeah. especially for yeah. high school players
for
and playing
high school
basketball.
Players, that's what I'm saying. In football, is crazy. We know as the show is going on, they just unveiled the new Kobe statue, which is dope. The Lakers did that. So not only, you know, everybody's expecting one, he got three. How special is that, you know, for L.A., like
where
for the culture of L.A.?
That's what I was. That's
what I want to know where you're going to put them to. But
I only seen one so far. I didn't even see the all three yet.
8, 24, and then one with him and his daughter.
Well, where are they going, though? Exactly.
I mean, I'm assuming in the front room
in
with
the
all
front.
The other ones, but it's going to be. Because
who's in the
I
front?
Don't know.
There's Magic, there's Shaq. Kareem, there's Shaq.
Shaq, you got the announcer, Hearn.
Chick Hearn.
Jerry West.
Man, when we going to start taking, like, when we going to start taking statues down?
Like, it's been here too long
like,
now.
Like let's be real. Like,
who is that guy?
Like, come on, like, son,
we
that's
gonna be
Chick
Hearn. After a while.
if Kobe get a statue, then we got to kind of raise, like,
raise
who get
bar,
the statue. Because
right?
it ain't really like
that's there. That's a fair point.
Like, I just asked him today, because, you know, LeBron played for the Lakers. He got championships everywhere.
He ain't get no statue.
Not in LA?
They're going to get
I agree
one.
With you.
He got to get a statue in like Cleveland and in like the NBA
Miami.
Headquarters, Miami.
Oh, he's going to get a lot of statues.
Yeah, like NBA headquarters, you got to just put him on top of the building. That's you got to.
You don't think he meets any criteria for LA?
He got the championship in COVID.
I mean, it might be in New York for all we know.
I mean, I rock with LeBron. It's just that Laker fans are haters. So
yeah.
you can't really, they never going to like LeBron. It's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
Never in life.
Yeah. Making sense
Unless
now.
He was a Clipper. The only time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
You see my outfit.
Yeah, he don't got
to
move.
Yeah,
you know
he used to
mean?
Be a Laker fan.
Don't
so when
that.
You said
don't
the whole
do
hater thing, I was like,
I ain't never been a Laker fan. Ain't win.
Okay.
It's fair to say
the
Lakers.
Yeah, like Jackie, it's okay. I used to be a Laker fan. That's okay.
I used to. I ain't gonna lie.
I grew up in a Laker household and my family loud, so it just made me hate the team.
Yeah.
So that's why you.
It's like 2 in the afternoon. Everybody screaming. You know what I mean? Like,
so you just was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna go rogue."
I remember the Fisher buzzer beater. It was crazy. It was the most annoying day of my life.
The point four?
Yeah, everybody running around the house. It's a 2-bedroom apartment. It's 50 people in here. Yeah. Like, y'all running up and down the hallway. Like, rewind it. Like, they recording the game, like, on VHS. We're not supposed to be doing that for, like, the second round of the playoffs.
He said VHS.
Yeah, it was irritating.
My God.
I do want to know the origin of how you became Clippers. Like,
yeah, ask him that.
I mean, the games was free. You go to Vons. Get a little ticket, you buy a Capri Sun, they give you 15 Clipper tickets.
What?
It used to be empty.
That's how bad it was
for
Clippers?
Yeah, my mom used to work at Toyota. And they used to get him like just free tickets at work. And then the ticket, it'd be empty. So you just walk to wherever you want to sit.
Yeah.
But the teams wasn't that bad. They just was losing. Like, it was entertaining as a kid. It was like going to the circus. You know what I mean? Like, Universal Circus. You got Elton Brand just doing fadeaways for no reason. Yeah. Darius Miles. Like, it was a fun thing to watch as a kid.
I was a Clippers fan too growing up. Obviously, I liked the Lakers because of Kobe. And Kobe was my favorite player. So I liked the Lakers as well. But like, Clippers was fun to me. They was exciting. They had, you know, Quentin Richardson, they had Darius Miles,
Corey Maggette.
Like, Kamen. It was just Chris Kamen, El Brand,
gotta go too far.
Baron Davis was there, mm-hmm. Mario
Sam Cassell,
Jovanovic. Mm-hmm. What was his name? Sam Cassell.
Yeah, they were entertaining.
It was entertaining. It was a fun group. Like, you know, I remember we used to do that shit. Like, mm-hmm.
Knuckle
up.
Who your favorite player in Clipper history?
Baron Davis. He's not even. Yeah, Baron
it's
Davis.
My favorite point guard.
Yeah, it's like being a kid and seeing Baron Davis just being around and like walking funny, like, you know, he got that weird walk to just see him. And it's like he was just everywhere at all times, and it's like he was from out here. So, and when he got there, like, he just brought like a certain energy to the team. And then kind of hearing him talk about the backstory, how, you know, certain people left and they were supposed to build a team together and they still had a little run. It was kind of the beginning of like the era that, you know, we give Chris and Blake and all them dudes who did very well credit for it. But it was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the team this year, just from being a fan and watching them? What are your thoughts on this year's team?
I think the team is good. Just people been hurt for like the past 5 years. You know, sports is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is the year. And after this year, it's not going to happen again. I don't pay attention to that stuff. As long as ain't nobody hurt and then the team has a good opportunity to make a run, it's just the crazy thing is like the dynamic of the roster. Like, everybody almost the same size,
right?
1 through 5,
right?
So just see the competition and the comebacks has been crazy this year. Even the other day, like, it was a little gap and I look back up about 10, I'm like, when that happened? You know what I mean? But the speed of the game, I think, is working in the benefit of the team.
I like this. He has some real good questions too.
Great
That was amazing, boy. We're gonna have you interviewer. On the show. We're gonna have you on the show.
I'll be watching, man.
I do want to describe where you at now in life, the creative place that you're in now. You dropped the Ramona Park Broke My Heart, which was, to date, one of your best albums, right? And then now you have your Vince Staples show. Talk to us a little bit of, like, you hitting your potential of just creativeness. Was this always a vision? Did you see yourself in the actor space? Did you always, rapper was your number one goal? And then now you open up to a whole new opportunity.
I mean, I never wanted to make, like, music or any of that stuff, like, as a kid growing up, to be honest. I don't think my focal point, like, or even just like my vision for life kind of exceeded a certain point, you know what I mean? But I feel like getting older and growth is really important, and it's understated to kind of give yourself time to just figure out life. You know, we all got moments that we feel like it's going to be this and then things change, and being able to overcome and kind of be malleable to certain situations. So I got an opportunity to kind of do music just based on my friends. Like I said, I was a kid. Doing kid stuff. Everybody have your mischievous ways or whatever, kind of being a part of your surroundings, family, things like that. I went to Atlanta for a couple months. I got a little bit of trouble, and then I came back home, and it just gave me a new perspective. Because, you know, and no disrespect to the city of Atlanta, I love it out there, but it just visually is much different than California. So then coming back to California, I was like, oh, it's like, it looked nice. Like, so spending your whole life thinking you live in the ghetto, and then coming back and being like, we got trees, we got, you know, little stuff, like more sidewalks. Like, it just feels different. Like, the color on the buildings, like, I just felt a different kind of mind state. So I kind of got home. I remember the first day I got home and we went to the Long Beach Town Center. At that point in time, we ain't got nothing to do. You hang out at the mall, you hang out on the block, or you go to the Long Beach Town Center, hang out in front of In-N-Out and just wait for something to happen. That was life.
Yeah.
So we at the Long Beach Town Center, where I had spent almost probably every day for the past 2-3 years, like in one of those couple places. And I was just like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, it just didn't feel, I felt like I wanted to know more about life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a couple friends, one of my homies, Chuck, who grew up in my neighborhood, and my homie, Dijon. They was always making music. And they was, in Long Beach, like, you kind of, at that point in time, at least, it wasn't cool to not, like, be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you was into, no matter how you was, like, you don't gotta be the homie. You don't gotta, like, be into what we into as far as negatively. Like, what do you bring to the table? And they mm-hmm. was always on music. They was always on clothes. They was talking about Japan and stuff like that. So they just had a bigger perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So as my mind state started to change, I kind of gravitated more towards them. And I had a friend named Jordan Curry that I grew up with, and he was always into making music. One of my other homies, Steve, and they was always like into that party type dudes. I'm not a party dude,
mm-hmm.
so I always equated music to kind of parties. And then I had two friends, Jackson and Lotion, Aaron Liddy, who we used to skateboard with. The skateboarding has always been huge in Southern California, but Long Beach specifically, it's always been real big. And it's like it intersects between all different walks of life, all different cultures and backgrounds. So kind of spending more time with them and then kind of thinking about how your life is being, right? So we all experience different things and we all notice different things. So saying, oh, I like this skate park that's attached to this song, that's attached to this location. Oh, that building looked unique. This looked this way. This looked that way. And my whole viewpoint of life changed. Mm-hmm. And when my viewpoint on life changed and they were just making music, I just picked it up one day. But since I didn't have, I guess, as much talent or skill or just information as they had, I was making music not knowing what I was doing, which allowed me to kind of be creatively free. And I was one of them people, like, based on my background, like, I'm not going to get scared of nothing.
Right, right.
Like, I'm not going to get scared of somebody, like, oh, you saying somebody going to say they don't like something?
Mm-hmm.
That's a walk in the park. Like, that's not scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
So just being able to continue to be creative and free, and then people kind of leaned on my music videos and always thought that, oh, this is interesting. So I thought how much I can do in the space. And mm-hmm. then one day I was like, I can probably, you know, do a TV show. We had a bunch of meetings, and all the meetings was like, who is this little nigga? Get out of my office. We don't want to see this shit. We don't care, basically. Right. Oh, you want to make a song? Kind of what it ended up being.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, all right, I'm not there yet. So then I just started doing a bunch of auditions, bricking them, looking at a bunch of YouTube videos, reading a bunch of books, trying to figure out what I like about TV, what I like about film.
Did you read 1,000 books a year?
Nah, not 1,000. Not a thousand years. That's okay. Impossible.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you could have been reading Dr. Seuss, though. Like, haikus, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, shout out Cat Williams, man. That's more. He's wilding right now. And I'm for it. Yeah, just finding the information. And then just over time, it kind of picked up. And, you know, that was like 2015, 16, mm-hmm. you know, almost 10 years later. Got a show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Quick follow up question on that, because I'm kind of curious. So, knowing that backstory, mm-hmm. what do you like when people ask you what you do, like mm-hmm. because you're in music, because now you're kind of into acting, what do you prefer to like be addressed by, like, I'm in this industry? Because I know some people kind of have
mm-hmm.
you know, they like to be called a musician, mm-hmm. or no, I'm an entertainer, yeah. I'm not just that, I'm this. Like, what do you like to be addressed as?
I don't even really have them conversations, to be honest, bro. Like, I walk, hey, bro, what's up, bro? How you doing? My name is Vince. What's your name? How's your day going? And then it's like human. I like prefer human interactions. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can't really be offended based on, because say someone, if you know who I am and what I do, then we're going to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then I'm just your neighbor. Or like,
exactly.
The gym I be going to, the dude is like, hey, man, why you ain't tell me what you do? I was like, when was that supposed to pop up? He said, he had a kid coming here. He was like, what's like, you Vince Staples? Why you ain't telling me you was Vince?
Why he in here?
And yeah. It's like, exactly. But it's like, I just feel like relationships are better that way, because I feel like everybody the same, but everybody on the equal playing field. And sometimes when people treat you weird or like just based on certain levels of celebrity, you kind of bring that on,
right?
By
right,
how
right.
you interact and how you mm-hmm. act with people, yeah. like the security guards and the, we got to pull up in the back. I ain't that.
Kind of mm-hmm. like how you came today.
Yeah, like
with your the barbers and your assistants and all this.
Nah, that's the homie.
That's really the homie,
yeah,
though.
I'm just mad with you.
Jackie does.
Nah,
that
but
guy.
That is funny though. That like,
nah, that's true though.
You
what
get that? Like, you get that too. You go to the store, like, you getting wrung out, and cashier's like, baby, why you didn't tell me you play for the Clippers? Like, oh,
when was I gonna tell you?
Yeah,
that?
Yeah. Like,
I'm trying to get in and out, lady.
Like, I didn't think you supposed to tell people what you do for a living. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't.
Right.
Like, come on.
But a lot of people do this, like we wear it because, you know, I feel like the world put a lot of value in that. But to me, like you said, we was growing up, I remember being a kid, like, and you just like see Snoop Dogg, but you don't see him sometimes. You see him all the time. Mm-hmm. Like the homie dad is a MC Ren from NWA. and we grew up and we ain't really, he was like, why? It was like, oh, that's your daddy. Like, it was just cool. Like, it wasn't like a big deal, but his daddy was mean as hell. So it was like, oh, this makes sense. So like, your dad act like this. And so it's like, I've been lucky enough to be surrounded by people who have reached like crazy amounts of success, but they still like treated people human. So if it pop up, it pop up. Other than that, man, like, you know, let's talk about something regular.
Yeah. I do want to ask, since you have the correlation with Snoop being from Long Beach as well, as a kid, like when y'all saw him, was there like any, and now, you know, your career path is rapping and being in the entertainment space. Like as a kid, was that kind of like inspiration to you guys? Like, I want to be like where Snoop is, or?
I think the best thing about Snoop is that he never felt out of reach, mm-hmm. even if he was like, cause you just see him in the way he speaks to people. He ain't never like, he never being weird, bro. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to put it. He's just Snoop. Not weird. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's like being a kid, I don't think I even like realized how big all of him, Warren G. Now, I don't realize how big all of them were, because you would just see them on a random day amongst their people. And as far as I know, especially with us as children, it was always a positive interaction. And you learn a lot from that, especially coming from street life. It's like, all right, if you got your current circumstances, and usually in our community, we get a bad rap. But a lot of older dudes that overcome a lot of stuff, especially at that time, is different now with social media and stuff. But at that time, any dude that made it out of the stuff usually is a better person or a cool person. They showing people love. So it's like, all right, it kind of give you a lot of things in the tunnel. And Snoop being the ultimate version of that, it was always like, you can do whatever. Because when we was kids, he was doing whatever, bro. Mm-hmm. He had Doggy Fizzle television. We had the Doggy Biscuit shoe. Hey, they was just doing whatever. Yeah. So you didn't feel like you was limited. Like, oh, Snoop got a football league. Like, that's crazy to say out loud. But we was kids, we was like, all right, we finna go over there.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. And he got kids that he produced NFL talent with, too.
A lot.
What's crazy about it as well, you hear about all the kids that grew up and played in his, under his umbrella, and now they're doing successful in the NFL.
And it also felt like the Orange County League, even though it was the one, because you got LACS and Orange County League. Orange County League was the bigger one. I don't even know if they're still around, but it felt, it didn't feel like cool. It didn't feel like it was some newer part of you. Like, you play, the difference between our teams and when you go to Mission Viejo was night and day. Right. And you just felt like, I remember we played at a school one time, and it was just so nice, and like the bathrooms was nice, and we was scared. We was like, they gonna beat our ass. Like, their jerseys was nice, they shit was all clean. It was like, oh man, it's over. We got the helmets from 7 years ago. But with Snoop, it felt like everybody was on an even playing field, and I really appreciated that as a kid.
Mm-hmm. We glad it happened. Well, I wanna congratulate you on your Netflix show, The Vince Staples Show. And I'm gonna be honest with you, as an actor, things I auditioned for, I auditioned for your show.
I ain't see it.
I gotta talk to my people about this.
I ain't see it.
Because I normally don't watch shows that I audition for. Just being an actor, it's just a little thing that we do. But you know, since you was on our show, they gave it to us. I love the show.
Oh, thank you.
It was definitely different, like a Curb Enthusiasm. I love everything about it. You kept it for sure Long Beach all the way, even to the little Easter eggs. You
know what I'm saying? I appreciate that.
You even wore the... what's the hoodie you had on, the Daniel High School?
Oh, yeah.
You know, shout out to Nate Dizzle. My thing is, I want to ask you, how is it being able to world build? Meaning, you are an actor, a writer on the show, and a producer. How do you take all that in, man, having you, with your series and all that? How is this?
It's extremely difficult, and I think that's okay to say. You know what I mean? A lot of time you go, man, it was a layup. It was this. It was really hard, and it took a long time. It took like 8-9 years.
Wow.
But I was around a lot of people who helped. Like, it was so many levels to the show. Like, all right, you kind of doing a little short film stuff, utilize music video budgets, having conversations about that. Should we let him do this? We shouldn't let him do this. You know, you finna get his nigga. Like, you know what I mean? Little stuff. Like, we done heard some crazy stuff, man. And just working hard and just knowing that you got more work to do. And then, oh, you meet somebody who, you know, you meet people that's like, oh man, I love the idea of the show. This is what my show is like. Do this. Or, oh, we can turn this to this. And then you meet somebody like Ken that was just like, yeah, whatever you want to do, we can do it. You just got to know this is how TV works and anything else. Do whatever you want. And then COVID happened. So everything done for years. And then you're not even thinking about it. And then it popped back up. And I had a lot going on, just like family stuff. My grandmother died. My brother died. All the stuff during COVID, right? So it's all good. And then it's like, oh, yeah, hey, we got to do the show. And it's like, all right, cool. So, like, then you pick that back up, having meetings, consultations. You know, one of my homies, Calmatic, who directed kind of some shorts I did before and has been kind of consulting producing on it, he was like, yeah, the show not going to happen if you don't write it yourself. He's like, if you don't write the show, it's not going to happen. He's like, go get Final Draft. It's $200. Sit down and write the show or it's going to be quiet. So, getting on the phone, Maurice Williams, one of my showrunners, and be like, hey, how you do this? How do you do this? Well, how do you do a scene header? And it's like going from there and having conversations, people being like, hey, he writing a show? Is it going to have an encouragement of the writing room and encouragement, can you encouragement of certain people? Like, and then, okay, this is the budget on the show. Okay, this is how budgets work. So you can do this, this, this. You can't do this, you can't do that. Say you're supposed to get however many days is perfect. Mm-hmm. We got half of that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, how do you make a television show in how do you make an episode of TV in 3 days mm-hmm. on location with a small team? And in retrospect, those things are crazy, but it was so much support and belief from the people around that it felt like it was a layup while we were creating it. But you have to know the weight of what you're doing and the weight of kind of your accomplishments so you can know, you know, when to pat yourself on the back and when you need to push yourself further. So it's really
let me pat you on the back because you did good. I think from me watching it, I think you for sure is definitely established as a entertainer writer now. Mm-hmm. I think you will definitely get more jobs in this business even if you're not playing in it. Mm-hmm. I think because what you did, you're a very weird motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Weird, but I like that because, you know, Ray J used to always tell me you're a nerd. Mm-hmm. Very nerd. You're a nerd in a crip. I used to always say that don't even match or mix, but okay. But from watching your show, You was very good at it. You like, I don't just watch a show and look at, oh, is this funny or whatever. I like it, the acting. Yeah. I like the girl who played your girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Loved her. She was very good. I loved, like, literally everything that, from the pieces, how y'all was, man, it was a lot of stuff. I watched that shit in one day. Mm-hmm. Literally, I watched every episode in one day. From even, who was the person? Well, I don't want to talk. I don't want to give up nothing. They got, it's mm-hmm. coming out just soon. But you did a wonderful job, yeah. man. Definitely.
You're talking about the face paint, right?
There you go. The cast amazing. That he has is amazing. It's a lot of new cast members that y'all probably seen maybe once or twice. And literally, the cast was unbelievable. I was kind of mad I wasn't in it. I ain't going to even lie. I was mad I wasn't in that shit. And I said, I got to sit next to his ass and do this goddamn conversation. And he didn't put me in the show. Yeah. But
we're going to talk about this.
But,
we got a season two.
You know, but you did a wonderful job, man. I'm very proud of because you 30 years old, black man, and you did stuff. You did something I haven't even done yet. You know what I'm saying? So I commend you on that, and you did a great job, dude. So anything that you fucking with, from what I've seen, how your production is, I'm messing with you.
I appreciate that.
You got me.
I appreciate that. That really mean a lot, especially for somebody established. Like, that really mean a lot.
You got me, man.
It's hard. You know how hard it is to even start, and then mm-hmm. it's like, you can do this, you can't do that. You can do this, you can't do that. And it's like, just trying to make sure we pushing, like, just the way that we create certain stuff, because a lot of the times we get a bad rap and people like, oh man, nobody trying nothing new, nobody trying to uncreative. Like, you don't understand how much more difficult it is to do these things if it hasn't been seen in this light before. So just being able to push, I think, is really important for us.
Mm-hmm. You doing it, man. I do want to ask,
of the three, you mentioned being a writer, actor, and mm-hmm. a producer on the series, what was the most challenging role that you had to play, or the most challenging hat you had to wear throughout?
Good question, Pete.
Creating this series,
I feel like they kind of all came in the same kind of bucket, because when you think about the production element of it and the questions that people are going to have, right? Mm-hmm. The question is, do he know what he's doing? Mm-hmm. Does he know about this? Does he know about that? Then we get into certain meetings, and it's like, okay, when we have a kind of pre-production meetings, and I'm like, okay, I want to try to be able to live in wide shots, you know, similar to Swedish filmmaking, Roy Anderson, kind of more independent stuff where you kind of have almost play-esque type things. Mm-hmm. We can't do that on TV. So then it goes back to having to research how you can do it on TV, when has it been done on TV, what country has it been done in, what's the aspect ratio, what kind of LUTs can we use, what's going to be our dialogue style, how are we going to utilize music? It gets to all those other things. So then you have to produce. But then you also have to think, all right, this has to feel natural for all the characters at hand. So I think the easiest part was writing it, just based on being able to create an environment to where you didn't need the most money. Mm-hmm. You didn't need the most, I guess, elaborate kind of setups. Like when you talk about the bank episode, right?
Oh my God, classic.
The super white that we lived in when they were having their conversation, it was really important to understand the nuance of even the background.
Right.
Where people fall, when people speak, when people trip, when the door is open, when you see the pregnant woman reach over, when the cut point happens, all that's really, really important. Mm-hmm. And then we talking about two cameras and no playback.
Wow.
So how do we do that while still being able to, you know, live within our means, for lack of better word. So I would say the most important and the easiest part was the writing of it, because that was something I was willing to sit down and do by myself. Like, talking to the writers, they were really encouraging. Like, they'd be like, Maurice always say all the time, like, man, you can write a script in like 30, 40 minutes. Like, it take 2 weeks. Like, if you can write a script in 30 minutes and we talk about it and then you go fix it in an hour, then you should write the script and then we'll go from there. So I just always knew that they was going to have my back.
How did you write that bank scene, man? It was classic.
Well, I just
funny as hell.
I just thought about aspects of two things. That episode really about like paranoia and growth, right? And it's a lot of plays on perception within the show. It's like, when you think about how we live, you can go about your day and then go meet your friend that's never been anywhere near where you've been and be like, yeah, man, I had a crazy day. And you can tell them about it. They'll never believe the stuff that we go through day to day. And that's for anybody on any walk of life, because we all differ, right? Mm-hmm. So then we get to the point of fame, celebrity, money, happiness. What do these things mean? It's all based on the perception that we have as people. Then we get into the instance of what's real and what's not real. And then we can leave it at that as far as the visual elements of the show. But when you watch the show, it's a bunch of stuff that is up for interpretation as if it's happening or not. And that's just when you think like, damn, am I crazy? Like, did he just mean mug me? Like, am I tripping? Did that car just come back around the corner? Mm-hmm. Man, I feel like I paid this bill. The stuff that's simple, right, that has bigger ramifications if we know how to blow the world out, right? So within that bank scene, you have vulnerability of someone trying to go in and have an important step in their life, having a door closed in their face, and then finding some sort of comfort. Now, when you think about how we are as people, the places that we find comfort aren't always the best. And that's an example of that. I just had this door shut in my face. They just basically told me I'm not shit, but I see something that makes me feel comfortable. No matter what these circumstances are around what makes me feel comfortable, I have to embrace that. So it was important to kind of show them having that conversation in that situation, because that's life. We always try to find a silver lining in our situation. So you in the middle of a situation like that. I wish
they seen what I'm talking about, what he's saying. It's dope.
Nah, it come out February 15th, yeah, man. It's a quick watch. It'll be cool, man. It's like 2 hours. Like,
yeah. Is it 5 or 6?
It's five.
Okay, because I seen on IMDb it had 6.
Yeah, we're going to talk.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, man.
That's the next question.
And I know Jackie started his career like working backdrop. I think it's safe to say, like, if you need any background guys, I think me and P would be more than happy to just slide in there.
He too tall.
That's well, not we, going to go anywhere. Yeah,
we
got to make a frame for him to be able to be in the frame.
That's good. I'm in.
we got you, Dad.
So Vince, well, earlier in the show, before you hopped on, we were talking to P kind of just about the travel, being on the road and kind of having a team bonding moment, but you did an interview not too long ago and you referred to touring as kind of a disgusting place. Can you kind of discuss the positives and the negatives of being on tour?
Well, it's all about the levels of tour you at, right? When you're starting out, you got the 500 seat venues, like things of that nature, and it's probably your people, you in a Sprinter van, it's easy, like it's fun. And then you hit that next level and that's when it become a wobbler. You got, like, it's a place called Toads, in Connecticut. Love the venue, great shows always there. They got a hot tub with the dirtiest water you ever seen sitting at all times in the back, and it'd be snowing, it'd be cold, and you be in there trying to wash your face, you know what I mean, get your stuff together, because it's before hotels, that's what I'm saying. This is when you ain't really work with that much money. Okay. And then in your mind, you're just like, what was in there? Who was in there? What's going on? It's like the hygiene of the backstage. You got to think, a lot of these is rock venues, bro. Like, hip-hop not that old. So you playing these older venues, these smaller venues. This is where, you know, they had AC/DC at. And, you know, the lifestyle that come with that kind of music is a little grimy, man. Mm-hmm. So playing at that stage, it's fun, but it's like, it's not the most comfortable. Now, when you get the comfort, then that's when you got tour buses, bigger venues, 5,000 seaters, 2,500s. When I'm lucky to go on tour with some of my people, you get able to do stadiums, arenas, things of that nature. It's a show after show after show after show. Get off stage, get your stuff together, go to the hotel, repack, and then you got to leave. And you don't think about the wear and tear on your body, because you're literally jumping and screaming and going to sleep super late, not really getting the best nutrition, 9-hour drives every single day. Mm-hmm. And I, at a point in time, I was averaging probably like 70 or 80 shows a year. Damn. So if you just equate travel, a day flying in, a day flying out, that's 75% of the year. So
shit,
it hits you. But you get to meet a lot of people. That's a good part too.
Yeah. I want to know at what point, because in basketball, you know, you get to about 50, 60 games where you essentially hit that wall, right? Where you just like strung out, you stress, tired, you just mentally out of it. what is, like, where is that roadblock in when you're on tour? Like,
Three shows back to back. You can do two back to back. You do three back to back. That's kind of for me when it gets a little bit hectic, especially just from a like, it's physically draining. All them people in there screaming, miss vitamins, taking care of your body, feeling sluggish. Don't get a cold. During COVID, the restrictions were like really, really crazy in a good way, but they were crazy. So, you know, a common cold felt like you had the flu just because we wasn't digesting as many germs as we usually do.
Right.
So I think by 2 to 3 shows in a row, like day after day, or maybe you get one day in between, that's when it get a little bit rough, no matter where it's at in the tour, because it's really no sleep. If you playing late, if you open and you playing at 9 o'clock, so then you just have the venue, or you might get a couple hours rest. You got to get back on the road. Mm-hmm. You got to go from going cross country, doing them overdrives, which basically means, I think that it's like a 5 or 6 hour max that you can get, the driver can do, without having to be paid more money. So overdrive, you go New Mexico to Dallas or something like that. It's like, sometimes it gets to be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's a lot.
That sounds,
I see
that
why
sounds
you don't
stressful.
Be wanting to rap no more. You're like, I can deal with this writing shit.
Oh, and the cost is crazy. As I mean, when I did a tour, I was like, oh man, I'm finna be rich. Start paying for stuff, man. Seeing how much that screen cost, that gas.
Yeah.
Them tour buses, 10 hotel rooms every day. It's,
so then it becomes like, is this shit really worth it?
Because you got to pay for everything in music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got, if you don't have like a kind of a deal, that kind of, they kind of, you know, give and take type situation, you got to pay for everything. Mm-hmm. So don't let nothing
so
break.
So it's not necessarily the label. It's, it's coming out of your pocket.
Yeah, you got to pay for everything.
So what the label paying for?
Nothing. But if they don't, you can get tour support, but then it's, you got to pay back. And also, that's a pretty big part of 360 deals, as people speak about it. You know, it has its negatives and its positives, but they get a piece of all your income. So that's touring, that's merchandising, and that's your music as well. Say a deal like mine, the label only gets music. So when it comes time to tour and make some merch, you can ask, but you're on your own.
Right.
For the most part.
They're like, we don't help you, but you got to pay us back.
Exactly.
Oh, that's cutthroat. Whew.
That's real cutthroat. I can see.
I do want to pivot a little bit with All-Star Weekend around the corner. We do want to discuss about your hoop game.
I'm trash.
You trash on the court.
I'm trash. But I used to be cold. 7th through 8th grade.
That was your peak? 7th through 8th grade
Optimal Christian Academy, bro. I'm telling you, man. Iverson had just got traded. I felt like it was wide open for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it ain't pan out.
So who would you say is your NBA comparison? Like, if you had to pick somebody that you played like...
Hilarious.
That's a good question. I'd just say like a Rush is thirsty.
What you say?
Rush. Just thirsty, you feel me?
Yeah, you out there playing hard.
And you know the homies don't be lifting no weight, so they ain't really doing that.
Right.
I'm not really worried about them like that. Grab that rebound. But when I was a kid, I used to really want to be like Chauncey Billups. I thought Chauncey Billups was cold, and I thought Sam Cassell was cold. So a little dirty, back down to the quarter. But I was about to bounce pass when I was a kid. But you can't be bounce passing. Man, look at you like you crazy. Like, right. Get that bullshit out of here. Passing.
So you had big guard energy.
Yeah, but I'm not big at all, so it ain't translated. I'm telling you, Baron Davis, Chauncey Billups, you got to look at where I'm putting one at.
Compared to Russ, like, that's big guard energy right there.
Oh, yeah, because I can't shoot like that.
Yeah.
Elbow, I'm cool. Everything else, it's a wobbler. It's a wobbler. I got better during White Man Can't Jump. It's like working
just
out a little bit.
Just being on set and shooting and
lost
stuff like
it.
That.
Tried again, lost it. I don't know how y'all keep
consistency.
We got to
get you a like lethal shooter or something like that.
Nah, I'm cool, man.
You cool on that?
That's thirsty, man. I want somebody old at the gym, like, you know, tucked in shirt with the shorts that got the hook shot. That's what I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Dynamics.
Hey, you know your game. I can say you know your game.
With the All-Star Weekend, like he said, coming up, and they just announced the celebrities. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about playing in a celebrity game? And what rapper musician do you think is like awesome as hell?
All right, so boom. Back when I had a little hop on me, I was like, if they put me one of these, I'm gonna catch a oop. The way my back set up now. I ain't catching nothing. But I used to get up there. So I done made money off of it and all that, because I'm like, what, 5'7"? Like, you can dunk. Well, get 100 right now. But I ain't got that no more. So I don't know.
So you used to be able to dunk?
Oh, yeah. I was up there. Okay. I'm telling you, I got the athleticism. I don't got nothing else. You feel me? I ain't got nothing else. I know Gilly can hoop. I know Quavo.
Really nice.
Wanted,
I'm surprised they didn't put him in the All-Star Weekend.
Chris Brown need to play in one.
Breezy.
He ain't play yet?
He's been in one, I think.
They got Chris Brown don't count, man. You just can't be throwing Chris Brown and stuff. Like, he's not a regular human, bro. He got backflips and all kinds of everything.
I've never seen someone that's just had talent in every bucket.
Like just dancing and singing along is just
dancing
talent.
And singing alone. Then he can act. Then he can hoop.
Like anybody can rap.
Then he can dance.
Singing?
Then like
he don't get to do stuff with regular people. Like, you gotta play with y'all. Yeah, he got all the stuff. He gotta play with y'all.
I think if Chris played in a celebrity game, he would for sure get MVP, and I think he'll give about good 20-something.
Nah, he gonna drop 50 just to say he did.
He can drop 50.
Just to say he did.
Do the anthem. Do the halftime show.
Yeah.
Do the everything.
Draw the jersey.
Draw the jerseys.
What was that Shaq West said? He'll score 30-something on Ish Smith if he played any.
Why they be playing with Ish Smith like that?
They think he's sorry or something. I don't know.
Gilly also, didn't he say
he came
could
at
be...
Jamal Crawford.
Not a chance.
Jamal Crawford
no chance.
Would kill him.
Gilly can hoop. Gilly can't hoop.
They got to get up
to be
man.
At his age, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to
get that bounce pass. Just be open.
Yeah,
that's it.
Not,
be
you
open.
No
as long as your back don't go out on us.
Hey, I'm at the where the little whoopty wop. The hypervolt on. What's that shit called?
That's a real LA person. Y'all the whoopty wop. Y'all don't know about that. That means everything. Everybody, the whoopty wop.
Put that shit on. He got to put that shit on.
So, Vince, last episode, P was asking the community, everyone that watches the show, on what his new 3-point shot celebration should be.
And you a Clipper fan.
And so just kind of curious, if you had an in-game celebration, like what would your celebration be after you knock down a three ball?
All right, who's reffing?
Who's reffing?
You feel me? Because you gotta hit the three and then just put your arm around the defender and just tap him on the shoulder. You know what I mean? It's gonna be okay. That's ESPN worthy. Ooh. And then you get a last dance document. You feel me? When he turn around and walk away, then you put your arm around the shoulder. If he watched the shot, then you put your arm on the shoulder and point at the ball. Either way, it's like you see what just happened, right?
Yeah, I'm following.
Did you already think of this?
No, this is off the top.
Like, hey.
This was off the top fast.
Yeah, you see that, that's a lot of coordination.
Yeah,
light on it, not by ball. I'm like, you see that? No, I mean, that's all it is. Like,
how do you play it off if you miss?
That's a good question.
You can't miss.
That's the ultimate green bean right there.
Bro,
that's like when that's you close out on a shooter and you're like looking at the guy. Yeah. And it's like it went in.
Some kid sent in somewhere. He was like, he did the and put it up. To give him, but I kind of like that.
That's kind of like James.
But like
though.
You said,
James been
yeah,
James.
Probably,
James been
yeah the ref gonna be like, why are you touching? But I'm just saying, it's compassionate. You know what I mean?
Right.
We need more compassionate hoops, bro.
Right.
We need more
right,
compassionate
right.
sports.
That's
you know,
true.
Like, man, I'm sorry you trash, but I'm on you.
Or maybe you thought he was gonna fall, so you just grabbed him.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
by
like,
the way,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's a good climb.
Actually, bro. I seen who's the? I think Hezzy God. I think
he
I seen Hezzy
he
God.
Did do, I think I
he
saw
did something like that,
too.
Right?
What did he do?
He shot, and then the dude ran past him. He grabbed him and like.
I think he did. He put his arm around him for sure, but I'm not sure if he pointed at the rim.
I'm telling you, bro. I just love you. Bring your love and compassion, like RF. Tell you that's my friend. Like, what you mean? We love the game.
Yeah.
Like that in the show. Look, man, I'm letting you know.
It depends who the player is, because you know there's been some players that you know you don't know what they're gonna do.
I want it. Patrick Beverly try to be the one who would do something like that.
Who?
Patrick Beverly. Because he don't care. I seen that they showed something to him the other day when it's so crazy that they on teams now. Him and Damian Lillard.
Damian, yeah. He just got traded.
When he got into it with Damian, he was like, this don't work. Like, you know how they say it's
Dame time.
This don't work. Rip it off and put it in the side pocket. I said, he crazy.
We need a Patrick Beverly biopic. And whenever he say he gonna retire his last game, he gotta go for 50.
He got to.
Like, he can't pass.
Who gonna play him?
He need 50 and 4 fouls, bro.
Who gonna play him?
Patrick Beverly.
Yeah, who gonna play
they
him?
They not out yet. When they get out, man, I'm
going for 50 one. Is funny.
He gotta go for 50.
I can see him doing that on a like when he going out because he's so aggressive. He can get it. He just only probably he will have
Pat not going for
is
no the 50,
rebounds because he's so short. But if they give him the rock and he hot, he
Pat
gonna go.
Not going for no 50, man.
He won't. I was just saying that to pump him up. So if he watching this show, he can
PB.
Try it.
PB ain't going for no 50.
What's the most he had?
I don't know.
He just needs a couple Gatorades, you know what I mean? He'd be good, man. But I think, because Patrick Beverly get a bad rap, man. I feel bad for my guy, you
he
know
does.
What I mean?
He do. And PB is one of the, like, he's the legitimate person that, like, you hate playing against, love playing with. Like, it's fun as hell when he in your locker room. But then with the antics and when you're playing against them, and it becomes a lot sometimes. But understanding them now, like I like that competitive part about them now. Like I love when we play them and we compete because I know what games he's trying to play. Yeah. Like I ain't gonna even go there with you today.
He been doing good this year, though.
Not he been doing much, great. He been doing awesome.
He gonna do good in Milwaukee.
And I will say this, like wherever he's at, like his stats don't stick out, but the team, elevates the team. Yeah,
he's a good team leader.
I give him great team leader.
Great. I would say that too.
Like I said, it's not more so the stats that's gonna stick out, but
I heard him say he wanted to fix his differences with Damian Lillard too.
Yeah, yeah, he said that.
They got a little beat. I mean, they got on the team. They got to. You got to fix that because Damian running. Well, we know Greek doing his thing, but Damian run that team too.
So, Vince, I want to put you inside the shoes of Adam Silver, and I just want you to imagine that if you had that role, and you just kind of talked about how the league needs more compassion and things of that nature, but you're an NBA fan, you watch the game. If you were the commissioner of the NBA and could implement any league changes starting immediately, what would you like to see changed in the NBA?
I mean, we talking like, for one, this conference thing is just boof. I'm getting rid of that. I'm getting rid of the G League.
G League's out?
G League?
I'm getting rid of the G League.
What was the first thing you said?
The conference is like, why do we got conferences? Like, come on, bro. Like, it's just silly. Like, open it up. Nobody care about the Pacific Championship. Like, you got dudes playing. It gets boring after a while. It has televised games and all of that. It's way too many games because ain't nobody watching them.
Okay.
I get it. I get the thirst. Like, we all like money and stuff. Like, I really get the thirst.
Yeah.
But it's like, nah, bro. Get rid of them conferences. Milwaukee is not in the Western. I mean, Minnesota's not in the Western of anything. Like, New Orleans fact. Being in the Western of anything is, like, crazy. Like, get a map. That's the first thing I'm doing is getting a map. Like, I'm going to put a map on the wall down and all those people divide it down the middle. And get these teams out of these, like, places don't nobody want to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, where?
The place nobody want to go.
Like Oklahoma.
Yeah, get Oklahoma out of there. And I like that team, but put them in Vegas. You know, we need some alcoholism on the team.
We need some Indiana, alcoholism.
I'm not mad at Indiana because it's a legacy team. It's like Granny House. Like, you don't sell Granny House. You just don't go that much when she get older.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like Granny House. You don't go there much, but you go. What do you think about that end season?
Stop it. Don't stop it. Thirsty,
what about the
play-in?
You like the play-in?
Thirsty, no. Let them go home.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't make top eight, you got to go?
Bro, let them go home.
I'm with you on that one.
Like, come on, bro. If you 9, you want to go home. Like, you want to go home, relax,
you basically
back.
Telling the league, we packed it in. Like,
yeah, like, come on, bro. Like, let them go home. Don't make them play. Somebody going to twist the ankle. They're going to mess up their golf game next Sunday. They already got it planned out. They know they're not making it. Like, what are we doing, bro?
Right.
Thirsty, ugly jerseys. Like, thirsty. I seen that Heat culture shit the other day. I was mad for like a week, bro. I was really mad for like a week because I just didn't understand why we was doing that to Jimmy Butler. He don't deserve it. That was sad.
I like Vince as a commissioner.
Yeah.
I like you as a commissioner. You definitely got to be. If they could do a celebrity for a commissioner for one day, I'm picking him for sure. I'm picking you. You
start your own league. Shit.
And I would start an active beef with Bron.
Start an active beef?
You got to start an active beef with Bron because he be doing a lot. And then Adam Sandler got to come and be like, hey, bro, stop that shit, LeBron. If he just said that in an interview, like he just held a press conference and say, LeBron, stop that shit or we coming for you. You know how much jersey sales going to go up? Everybody going to watch the games. Like, LeBron, I'm going to address that shit you did at the draft. Now we all watching the second day of the draft. Like, add some wrestling to it. That shit is too political.
I like that. So we need a little bit more drama in our shit.
Yeah, man, sit down with Bron and say, Bron, I need a favor, bro. I need you to throw a chair, bro. I'm sorry, but throw that chair across the court after y'all lose, bro, and then just take the jersey off. And then Adam Silver going to be like ESPN Breaking News. He's going to be on there with Stephen A. Smith early in the morning like, hey, Bron, like, you do that shit again, bro. It's me and you.
And what if we did have that in the game, though? Like, you talk about the wrestling element. Like, what if you, like, second quarter starts, right? Then you hear, doom, lights cut off. See a motherfucker come out the tunnel.
He's in a fight.
Russ is in a suite. The lights go to Russ, doom. And Russ is just up there.
You got to think about how big the Bulls was, right? What if in the middle of the Eastern Conference Finals, right? They say, oh, man, Dennis Rodman is in the hospital. He has alcohol poisoning from a night in Vegas. You're like, oh, man, Dennis not here. It's going to be quiet.
Then
you don't even affect the game. Yeah. We ain't got to cheat or nothing. And out of nowhere, that happened.
Right.
You see Dennis Rodman run out the tunnel with the gown on,
oh,
bro.
Oh, my God.
With the gown
on.
He put the jersey on the baseline. Yeah, put
the
jersey and the shorts on the baseline, bro. He get 15
IV,
boards.
Ripping IVs and shit out.
And he said he get 15
bro,
boards.
The
NBA will be sick.
That's the gown game.
Nah, he
was legendary.
I love that.
Mitchell and Ness gowns for sale, $250. Right. Like, come on, man.
Dude, it's good.
Call me, y'all. I got ideas.
Yeah. No, that is good. You find out Jordan ain't playing that
NBA,
night.
You got ideas,
NBA,
y'all.
I got ideas. Call me, man. Y'all doing real bad right now. So, holla at me.
So what happens, like, all right, you playing the Bulls, right, and you find out Jordan's not playing. He's not even in the building. And then, like, some way into the game, like, they put it on the Jumbotron. They following Jordan to the arena.
Like OJ.
Like OJ. Yeah.
A live stream.
Live stream. Yeah, like, if you the other team, are you like, fuck?
He's on his way.
He's on his way.
He's going to start he's breaking. On his way. Like, damn, thought we had this one. We might have. Yep, I like it.
That's funny. Dun-dun. I like
what's
that.
This, what's the Bulls' little music?
I'm saying it incorrectly.
Yeah, I know.
I ain't heard their music in so long. Can't
what
remember
is the
it.
Bulls' theme?
I don't think that's
nah,
it, Chuck.
That
I don't
it.
Think that is
it. That ain't it,
Chuck. That ain't it. That ain't it, Chuck. But it was good enough.
It's something. Like, it's, dun, dun.
We got it. We got
we
it.
Don't care. We all not right, with the Bulls. We're with the Bulls. You know, we clipping. You idiot.
Hey, well, Vince, brother, we appreciate you. We don't want to take up too much
go.
Of your time. He got to go.
Nah.
We don't want to take up too much of his time.
He our first rapping guest and the actor guest and producer guest. Can you stay about 2 more minutes?
He's trying to go too.
No, man, let him get home, yeah, man.
We just bad. Send him out, B.
Hey, we want to thank you. My guy, you are the first to blaze the seat from the
I
rapper.
Appreciate it, definitely.
POV. Shout out him coming through, Podcast P fam. We appreciate y'all. Stay tuned for the next episode. We'll be back Monday.
And make sure y'all watch the Vince Staples Show February 15th
yes,
on
sir.
Netflix.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Come
thank
on,
you.
Baby. I got you.